My uncle became sick. One morning, we were sitting on the veranda when he complained he wasn't feeling very well. In the evening, he developed a fever and he lay inside, groaning. Ali and I went to a nearby shop and bought medicine, but uncle's fever grew worse day after day. Auntie Sally would force him to eat, but he would vomit everything the moment she was done feeding him. All the hospitals and pharmacies were closed. We searched the city for doctors or nurses, but those who hadn't left would not leave their homes for fear they might not be able to return to their families again. One evening, I was sitting by my uncle, wiping his forehead, when he fell off the bed. I caught his long body in my arms and held his head on my lap. His cheekbones stood out of his round face. He looked at me, and I could see in his eyes that he had given up hope. I begged him not to leave us. His lips were about to utter something, but they stopped shaking and he was gone. I held him in my arms and thought about how I was going to break the news to his wife, who was boiling him some water in the kitchen. She came in soon afterward and dropped the hot water, splashing it on both of us. She refused to believe that her husband had died. I still held my uncle in my arms, tears running down my face. My entire body had gone numb. I couldn't move from where I sat. Mohammed and Ali came in and took uncle away from me and put him on the bed. After a few minutes, I was able to get up. I went behind the house and punched the mango tree until Mohammed took me away from it. I was always losing everything that meant something to me. My cousins cried, asking, "Who is going to take care of us now? Why did this happen to us in these difficult times?" Down in the city, the gunmen fired off their guns. My uncle was buried the next morning. Even in the midst of the madness, many people came to his burial. I walked behind the coffin, the sound of my footsteps clinging to my heart. I held hands with my cousins and Mohammed. My aunt had tried to come to the cemetery, but she collapsed right before we left the house. At the cemetery, the imam read a few surahs, and my uncle was lowered into the hole and covered with mud. People quickly dispersed to continue their lives. I stayed behind with Mohammed. I sat on the ground next to the grave and talked to my uncle. I told him that I was sorry that we couldn't find him any help, that I hoped he knew that I really loved him and wish he could have been alive to see me as an adult. After I was done, I placed my hands on the heap of mud and quietly wept. I didn't realize how long I had been at the cemetery until after I had stopped crying. It was late in the evening and the curfew was about to begin. Mohammed and I ran as fast as we could back home before the soldiers started shooting. A few days after my uncle was buried, I was finally able to make a collect call to Laura. I asked her if I could stay with her if I made my way to New York City. She said yes. "No, I want you to really think about this. If I make my way to New York, can I stay with you at your house?" I asked again. "Yes," she said again. I told her that I would visualize it and would call her when I was in Conakry, the capital of Guinea, the one neighboring country that was peaceful and the only way out of Sierra Leone at that time. I had to leave, because I was afraid that if I stayed in Freetown any longer, I was going to end up being a soldier again, or my former army friends would kill me if I refused. Some friends who had undergone rehabilitation with me had already rejoined the army. I left Freetown early in the morning of the seventh day after my uncle passed away. I didn't tell anyone that I was leaving except Mohammed, who was to relay my departure to my aunt after she was done grieving. She had torn herself away from the world and everyone in it after uncle's death. I left on October 31, 1997, while it was still a little dark outside. The curfew was still in place, but I needed to leave the city before the sun came out. It was less dangerous to travel at this hour, as some of the gunmen were dozing off, and the night made it difficult for the militiamen to see me from afar. Gunshots echoed in the quiet city, and the morning breeze felt harsh against my face. The air smelled of rotten bodies and gunpowder. I shook hands with Mohammed. "I'll let you know where I end up," I told him. He tapped me on my shoulder and said nothing.